Joseph's life went from not being liked by his brothers, that was bad, to being sold, that was worse, to them being stuck in prison. The journey of worse and less comfortable often keeps us closer to God.
Bring it broken, bring it used, and meet with him. You know the Father sees what you think is in the shadows. All your pain, your secrets, and your scars. You think you'd rather hide than hold on to the pieces. Just run to him and let him have your heart. Bring it broken, bring it you. Bring it shattered, bring it bruised. He is here, he is home, and the healing hands of heaven are open. They are open, bring it broken. It all together, you know well that time will never come. So just the way you are in this very moment, doesn't matter how I'm finished or undone. Bring it broken, bring. And the healing hands of heaven are open. They are open. Bring it broken. You see the miracles he does. Oh, just one touch from the Lord. There is nothing that cannot be restored. Bring it broken, bring it used, bring it shattered, bring it bruised. He is home, and the healing hands of heaven are open. They are open. Bring it broken. Bring it broken.
Share with you a story that you already know. I'm not going to share the story. I'm going to share the connecting points found in Genesis chapter 39. And if you want to look there, you can. If you don't want to look there, just listen as I share with you the story of who I believe was the first missionary in the Bible, Joseph. And guess where he was sold to? Africa, Egypt. The real reason that Christy and I ended up with the Africa region is I went to my boss one day as we were at a conference with Word of Life leaders, and he stood up and announced that he was taking a trip to Egypt. And so I went up to him afterwards. Actually, I told Christy said, hey, we're in Egypt now. I said, we're not in Egypt now. She goes, no, we're in Egypt. I just heard him announce it. I said, we're not in Egypt. He announced it a second time. So I went up to him after the meeting, and as I walked up to my boss, his name is Chris, he looked at me and his eyes got really big. And he's like, Egypt's in Africa. I said, yeah, it actually is in Africa. He goes, do you need to go there? I said, no, you can go. I'm really happy that somebody's going to Egypt. And that was because of the language connection of two missionaries from Jordan that were gonna go with us into Egypt. But as I started, and this is one of my favorite characters in the Bible, Joseph, as I started to study his life, I'm like, oh man, people in South Africa tell me I'm sharing with them a Western gospel, a Western message, and it's not. Because the first missionary in the first book of the Bible was sold into mission work. I'm glad that you sent me instead of selling me into mission work. So we were sent to Africa. But think about this, and you know the story. If you don't, I'd encourage you to jump in and read this. But think about this. Let me just jump real quickly to the New Testament, to 1 Peter chapter 2. Because this verse talks about the way Joseph lived. 1 Peter chapter 2, let me just read for you verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as foreigners and strangers, or as foreigners and sojourners, to abstain from fleshly lusts. And you realize what Peter is talking about there. I urge you as foreigners and sojourners, he's talking to us. See, I often get caught in the fact of thinking that I'm a resident. I'm a citizen. And yet when you look in the Old Testament here in Genesis chapter 39, we realize that Joseph, being sold to Egypt, he was a sojourner. He was a pilgrim. That was not his home. And yet when God took him out of his comfort zone, look at some of the things that he did. And you know the story, right? He was sold into slavery, and then he gets brought into Potiphar's house. And instead of being like the foreign slave, if you understand the concept of slavery or employees, he was the foreign employee. He was the lowest. And yet he became the highest in Potiphar's house. Why did he become the highest? Because God's hand was on him. And think about the missionary tactic, right? He's in a different land. He doesn't know the language. He has to learn the language. But he's in a land where they have literally 1,000 different gods. And he's trying to teach them the one true God. And so what he does is not about learning the language and the culture for survival. It was learning the language and the culture so he could point them to the one true God. Matter of fact, when Potiphar's wife starts chasing him, his first comment out of his mouth, which by the way, she did that day after day after day after day, but his first comment was, how could I do this and sin against God? He used that platform to talk about God. Well, that didn't go so well, right? She lies about him, he ends up in prison. He went from uncomfortable to more uncomfortable. And what happens to him in prison? Now he's the foreign prisoner. He's the lowest prisoner. And it says God's hand was on him, and he became the highest prisoner. How do you become the highest prisoner in a foreign land? You're like nothing. You have no rights. And yet he realized that he was a sojourner. He was a pilgrim. I am here temporarily, but this is not my home. Where's my home? With God in eternity in heaven. And because he always kept that perspective, he always used every opportunity to leverage God in every conversation. Verse 21 of 39 says, the Lord was with him. He extended kindness, steadfast love. He gets thrown into prison. And when he's asked to interpret dreams by these two political prisoners that got stuck in there, in verse 8 of chapter 40, he says, don't interpretations of dreams belong to God? And you remember the story, but just to keep moving ahead on time, these two prisoners, he tells them the dreams, and both dreams came true, right? One guy was very happy, I'm gonna get released from prison, and the other guy was not so happy because he got released from his head. They were separated, but they came true. And Joseph says, hey, when you get out of prison, remember me, and the guy that gets out of prison totally forgets him. But he ends up back in the king's palace, and the king has a dream, and the king doesn't know the interpretation of the dream. And all of a sudden, this guy remembers, oh, there was a guy in prison. So think about this whole aspect, because my whole mindset, I'm sold by my brothers, I'm lied about and thrown in prison, and now I get to have a conversation with the king. in Africa, we would say this is where the negotiation begins. But it's incredible because he was not negotiating to get out of his comfort, was he? Joseph's crazy. He literally is brought before the king, showers, changes clothes, brought before the king. And what's the first thing he does? He doesn't negotiate his release. He doesn't even tell the king, I can interpret the dream for you, but if I do this for you, what are you going to do for me? In Africa, we always do that, right? What's in it for me? We talk about an African handshake. It's like a penguin. You always have your hand out looking for something. And Joseph doesn't do that. Why? And this is what blows my mind, because as he is sold as a missionary into Egypt, the very first thing that comes to his mind is, I have one opportunity. I have one conversation with the king. One. I got to tell him about God. What did Joseph do? He opened his mouth. And he spoke about God. And he said, God can tell you the interpretation of your dream. God. The only chance he had to open his mouth, and it had nothing to do with him, had everything to do with God. Incredible, isn't it? And then Joseph's story changes. And now, instead of being the lowest prisoner, he's like the vice chancellor for the country. But you know what else is interesting? Joseph's circumstances changed, but his message didn't. His message didn't. Let me give you a couple summary points. Think about this when you think of Joseph being the first missionary in the Bible. He learned to live an uncomfortable life. He lived in a different country. He ate different food. He was separated from his family for at least 20 years. He was sold as a slave at 17. And you look at 7 years of good and then 7 years of famine, you add all that up, he was about 30 years old before he ever reconnected with his family. He learned a new language. He went from speaking Hebrew to speaking Egyptian, which today would be a dialect of Arabic, that language across Africa. He learned a new culture. He learned both language and culture for one reason, so he could open his mouth and share about God. That verse that I read in 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about your sojourners, your pilgrims, resist earthly lust, resist fleshly lusts, so that the Gentiles will know you're different. Joseph did the same thing, right? He resisted what was commonly accepted so that when he opened his mouth, his actions lined up to his words and he could tell them about God. He had no status, no recognition. He didn't take credit for what he did. He gave credit to God. He didn't promote himself. Others promoted him. He worked hard. He had to work harder than others. If you're going to be like the foreign slave, how do you become the head slave? He wasn't just a slave. He learned that his place could also change the message. Now, or the message didn't change, but his place changed. He used every opportunity to share about God, whether he was in the house as a slave, in prison, one-on-one with Pharaoh, or second in charge as the vice regent. And when he received power, he still didn't change. He leveraged it for God. He knew he was not at home, even when Egypt became his residence. Home was eternity with God. When he was 17, he was sold as a missionary. And when he was 30 years old as the vice regent, he just had a better platform to now tell everybody in Egypt and the surrounding countries that came to them to survive about the one true God. Think about that. I have to think about that in my life. How often do we push? How often do I push for comfort? I'm thankful that God has a plan and a story. And I'm to the age now where there's a little bit of gray hair and there's reading glasses, and you can look back and you can begin to see parts of those story. See, in 1970, Word of Life began their ministry in Africa, and it was in the country of Kenya. In 1970, I was born. Crazy to think, in my life now, I never would have dreamt that God would allow us to serve in Africa. South Africa, let alone all these different countries, but in 1970, when that ministry started, was the year that I was born. God had a plan. God has a timeline. God took a young boy and a young girl and moved us out of our comfort zone. And I tell people time and time again, and I've said it here before, but I know some of you are also new to here, Africa did not need John and Christy. John and Christy needed Africa, because that was the location that God was going to use to help us to become more dependent upon him. Sean has the opposite story, right? He was comfortable in South Africa. And probably, if he were honest, he would tell you how uncomfortable it was to move to Maine, especially with Mark as a father-in-law. But like, you're willing to jump into uncomfort, because wherever God has you, you're just a pilgrim. You're just a sojourner. This is not our home. And when you read the back of the book, which is much better to sing about reading the back of the book than you read the back of the book, you realize like it's going to get a whole lot worse, isn't it? Joseph's life went from not being liked by his brothers, that was bad, to being sold, that was worse, to them being stuck in prison. The journey of worse and less comfortable often keeps us closer to God. In my life, I have to ask, what do I pray for? And just to be completely honest with you, I'm supposed to be perfect as a minister, as a missionary, but I'm not. Oftentimes, I'm praying for God to remove stuff out of my life, and maybe that's the exact thing he wants in my life, and he just wants me to open my mouth and to speak out the gospel for him. Where are you at? Sometimes the most uncomfortable place to be is where you are. Sometimes people run away because where they're at and where home is really uncomfortable. So maybe as you think about Christy and I, don't pray for our comfort. Pray for us to open our mouths. And then as you pray for us to open our mouths, you'll do the same thing. Wherever you're at, wherever you come in contact with people, because you'll realize, just like Joseph did, this is not our home. I am a sojourner. God used a new location and a new culture to chisel away at our life, to drive home the point that I need to continue to be a sojourner. That happened when we went from Pottersville, New York to Johannesburg, South Africa. It happened again when God said, I'm going to expand your area of look from South Africa to all of Africa. And then I said, the next guy, he can do North Africa and the Middle East. And God said, no, because I want you to stay uncomfortable. I want you to stay dependent on me. And I simply want you to be obedient, open your mouth wherever you go. So today, as you think of the story of Joseph, realize the person that I believe was the first missionary in the Bible went to Africa. And how many thousands of years later are we still asking people to come to Africa? But we're also seeing a shift. We're seeing Africans leave and go to the country next door, or to come to Maine and to reach. Because the principle is not where you go. The principle says we are pilgrims and sojourners in this world. While we are here, open our mouths and reach people.